This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
He threw a hole on the right side and he's off and running. Off to the races to the 40, 50. In pursuit is Cam Lewis and DeMar Hamlin. They're not going to get him. He's going to go the distance. 87 yards for the touchdown on the first play from scrimmage.
I don't want to single out a certain position, but overall as a defense, when you're talking about draws, screens, those types of things, we got to do a better job of feeling the game, indicators, and the keys. I didn't think we did a good enough job overall as a defense.
All kinds of time, and open in the end zone is Justice Hill, who beats Dorian Williams, and it is a touchdown, 19 yards, as the Ravens have blown it open here in the first half.
Down 21-3 at halftime, get the ball, score a touchdown. You know, had an opportunity to make it 21-17 when we turned the ball over. So, again, we were down and out early on, and we kind of stopped the bleeding. And, again, we could have done more to really put a Band-Aid over it, and we just let it slip away.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They made more plays than we did, and, you know, it was evident right away. They had more urgency than we did, and that's something we'll correct. Not everything was bad in this game. I don't want us to come away from this saying we're the worst, and lots to learn from. I'm glad this happened early in the season so we can correct things.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Bills lose one game, and you know what that means. Hockey season here on Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Mike Shope and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio later. So how bad was it? Bad.
Really, really bad.
Like Alan
really,
is saying,
really bad.
We don't want to overreact. You know, we're not the worst. Right. But it's their worst loss in years.
Yeah, I mean, since that Indianapolis game, which I think was the last time they lost by more than 6 points, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a hell of a stretch, right? Is that November of 21?
Yes.
Holy moly.
Their last road game, where they lost by more than a touchdown, or more than six even, was Derrick Henry and the Titans.
Right.
In 2020, that, almost 4 years ago.
That COVID year. Yeah.
Regular season.
Yeah.
Although, their only playoff road loss like that is the AFC Championship that year.
Yeah.
That wasn't, you know, that close.
So, yeah, it was bad. Yeah, so it's a lot more fun to be the demolisher than to be the demolishee, I guess, right? I mean, that was my word last week, I think last Tuesday after the Jacksonville game. They demolished Jacksonville. They got demolished by Baltimore right from the start. I mean, they got physically punished. I think, you know, X's and O's wise, intellectually, I think they got punished. They just got lit up. You know, the fact that you're, I don't know how early in the game, and there's a linebacker wearing number 32 running around on the field. Like, this is not going well.
Yeah.
Nothing against Nick Morrow, but like, this isn't good.
I didn't know who he was.
I'm at a point.
I just have to be honest.
Like, holy cow. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, obviously right from the start, just brutal. And, you know, then, but even despite how it started and how Brownie sounds there on that one on the Justice Hill touchdown, they've blown it open. Sure, 21-3, 21-10. You know, defense is looks fired up, right? There's a three and out, and like, okay, we're getting the ball back. And
you have the Ravens too, who've made sort of a habit,
right,
of losing leads.
So you could have been feeling it a little. I was definitely feeling it. And then that ill-timed debacle happened on 2nd and 7 that just never really had a chance.
Was that play there?
I don't think so. I mean, it depends. There's two guys back there with Hollins, but he's right. There's like an end zone view that I've seen of it. And if Allen puts it like in the corner of the end zone, there's a decent chance Hollins beats both of those guys to where Josh is throwing the ball, but who knows where he's throwing the ball. He didn't even get rid of it because he got hit. He was in traffic. Like, the whole thing, the setup for that play, I think he's supposed to be in the pocket, but it gets all messed up there, and he ends up, you know, out on the left hash or even further to the sideline than that, and just decides to try to make a play and just, oh, boy.
I mean, yeah, good luck to you if you fail on a trick play. Yeah. Everybody hates you if you fail on a trick play.
Yes.
I like trick plays fine. I don't know if I like trick plays to Mac Hollins, but that's the Bills roster.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Or should that have, I mean, Samuel takes the snap, right?
Samuel takes the snap and heads to it. Like, to me, there was no mystery about what was going to happen there. Right? Yeah. Like, aren't you watching on TV going, oh, Samuel's under center. Here's Allen off on the left. Okay, well, they're going to get the ball to Allen. Like, you know, I'm just an idiot sitting on my couch. I'm, you know, you see the Ravens communicating. I think they knew what was up. And all it took was one guy, like Van Noy, I think, is the guy that gets past Dawkins. And like, if that doesn't happen, maybe Josh gets to his spot and at least the play has a fighting chance. But it was doomed almost from the start. The way Van Noy got in there on Samuel, forced him to pitch it sooner, I think, than he wanted to, and it just...
It's one play.
Just derailed. It's tougher. One play, but at 21-10, and they're moving the ball, you feel like, okay, maybe. You know, this can be a game. Because of Baltimore's rep here, even this season, last time the Bills were there, they were down 20-3 and came back and won the game. So, you know, you're giving yourself a chance, and then the game just completely swung around on that. Like, it was over almost effectively after that play.
Well, I mean, sure, you can make assumptions. I mean, the Bills are so good that they're never to be counted out in the early third quarter of a game, but it was never their night. Like, it was possible, and you might have felt good, but it was never their night. I watched the game back today, and somehow it was worse than I thought last night. I mean, 87 yards on the first handoff is just, they got manhandled on the first play, and they really did most of the night. Like, Justice Hill, raise your hand if you knew much about Justice Hill. Like, the Ravens have had lots of different backs that have had kind of part-time roles. He's been there. But here is Justice Hill. Jackson doesn't even do anything. He just sort of flips it to him, and he's walking 10, 15 yards a few different times, and then you get a touchdown from him later. I mean, the Bills were just, like, awful defensively.
Yeah, they got clobbered. The 87-yard run, I mean, what does it take to get to bust an 87-yard run? You need to have, like, I don't know, half a dozen or more defenders get absolutely dominated one-on-one. Like, nobody won, and that's it. Like, you're just – everyone's locked up. And that's it. All you've got left is the guys that are chasing, and nobody was fast enough to catch Derrick Henry, and like, that was the end of that.
He's amazing.
Really. I mean, just like, he is something to behold in the open field.
He's so big.
Yeah.
But then he gets out on that play, and no one can even come close to catching him. Like, he's faster than Hamlin. He's faster than the whole Bills secondary on that play.
Yeah, he got through the, you know, the first whatever, you know, the 10 yards downfield. And he's gone. I've seen this before. Like, he's gone. Because he has, for a guy that big, he's got, I don't know why, I've not seen like what miles per hour he got up to on that run. But for a dude his size, he has run away from people in the past.
And I think I heard them mention 22.
Wow.
Maybe, I don't know if it was that run, but
that's just so scary.
Well, the Bills, the obvious point here is the Bills should have obviously signed Derrick Henry like the Ravens did. That would have been smart. I mean, I'm not entirely kidding. I never wanted that. I usually make fun of that stuff. You know, it's running backs. James Cook is so special, but here's a game where he's just one of, like, a week ago we were hearing about All-Pro. How about the other guy last night, All-Pro?
Yeah.
Like, and he might not even be, but...
the thing about Henry, about signing him, about investing in that, and, like, just to barely defend the position here... is, to me, that play, Justice Hill could have gone 87 yards. Your name here could have gone 87 yards, provided, you know, you have that high-end gear. You know, and not everyone has it. But, you know, those also aren't highly pedigreed athletes that were chasing him. You know, it's street free. Like, the Bills secondary, we're bragging. I'm bragging about it against Miami. We're shutting these guys down with UB guys. well, you know, it comes home to roost when an elite athlete gets in the open field on you and you just ain't got nothing to catch them.
It's just aren't the Ravens just different than everybody else? Not always better. I mean, they don't always win, but they usually win. And they're just different. I mean, that game never looked good to me last week because Jacksonville plays like they don't know what they want to do defensively and they're basically helpless. Offensively, the quarterback's terrible. Like, none of the things about Jacksonville translated to Baltimore. And the matchups, you know, they roll out three tight ends and they can dominate you physically. And that's what happened.
They got I was listening to Tasker and Brownie on the way in, and I just like the way Steve put it. Like, how this point exactly, how different they are from everyone else. It's like they have a 300-pound fullback and a 250-pound running back.
Yeah. Like, and they both scored touchdowns.
And they play right. Sure. And they play, you know, it's not like Ricard is a bit player. Like, he matters.
That's
to
right.
them.
He makes a great block on the Henry touchdown. So does Andrews.
Yeah.
Jeff Schwartz broke that play down on Twitter, and that's it's not a fun watch for Bills fans, but it's, you know, interesting to hear him describe the wham that play and just how Baltimore did it. First play from scrimmage. Well, here's two. An absolutely insane NFL record streak of the Bills not losing a game like that. And that wasn't even, you know, by 7. That was by 25. I mean, it was really not close. But they have gone so long. I mean, I'm used to it. I've worked here a long time. I know when you turn on WGR today, it's like Fire McDermott this morning. I know that people were calling in with that stuff. Just, it's an impossible standard almost. That they haven't won a Super Bowl or made a Super Bowl here. And you can tell me that that's not just a coincidence, you know? But it's just kind of insane to me how some fans just sort of the world crashes on the Bills when they lose one game to a good team, you know, arguably better than they are. They were better than the Bills last year, and this season is so young, and they were much the better team last night. What does it mean?
Yeah,
it means they're not going, you know, undefeated.
Right.
It means that streak is over.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of damage it has to mean, though, going forward. But as we know, they have two more road games next, and those are also, I think, both good teams. The Jets really did lose to Denver. 10-9.
I somehow managed to watch a lot of that game.
I somehow didn't. You know, the thing about red zone, can I just say now? I was going to say this later. So yesterday, no Bills responsibilities until the night, you know. So TV was on all day. I'm in and out. And it's red zone, which is nice. People like red zone because you can watch all the games. You don't watch any of them this way.
Like, no.
You see the games, but you don't really watch them.
Yeah.
And today, I'm, you know, looking back on week 4, I'm looking at my lineups and just so what happened around the league yesterday. And I know I was home with the TV on the Red Zone channel the entire day. I should have been able to tell you what happened in all of these games, but I really couldn't. Like, it's just sort of, so frenetic, and it's just plays, highlights, but it's not really watching the game. Like, Minnesota-Green Bay is this game for me yesterday, because I know Minnesota got out 28-0, and Green Bay, you know, almost made it all the way back. 31-29 is the final. A lot of stats from this game, but I couldn't really tell you, like, how it happened. It's just, I know that they were... That game would pop on when they were in the red zone, you know, of course. I don't really feel like I had a sense of it.
I know what you mean. And I started out, I said I somehow watched a lot of that Bronco-Jet game because that was, I started out intent. Like, okay, you know, the Jets matter here, you know, for now. And the Bills will see them in a couple of weeks. And I have strong opinions about how that's going to go for the Jets. So I want to watch, you know, more than just what I'll see on Red Zone. I want to see, you know, what they do from their own 24-yard line.
Right.
Rodgers, right? Like, I want to feel it. I want to sit with it. Turns out they didn't do anything. It was really nothing. And the Red Zone is it's like a drug. Like it's like a drug that it's going to be a good time. I like it. It's satisfying, but I also, like you, have to go looking through the box scores to try to piece together how the games went when it's over. Because it just moves so fast, and it can be kind of, it's intoxicating and dizzying and maybe annoying and pleasurable all at the same time, I feel like.
That's just like football itself.
Yeah, right. So I hear you on that. So I tried. I think I probably watched 3/4 of the Jet Bronco game just, you know, on CBS, and then the rest of the time I was on Red Zone. So yeah, I mean it's once the Jets lost, though, here, yeah, I'm glad you brought it up this way, because I had this thought. I mean, I don't know who, probably a lot of people did. I'm not here to tell you that the Bills did, and like that's why they got trampled underfoot by Baltimore last night. But I went, you know, I got a little room here. That was my brain did that. Like, well, losing tonight won't be that bad.
Sure.
Like, I'm not going to be tied with the Jets. And I'm worried about the Patriots. I'm still not really worried about Miami and the state they're in currently. Maybe that'll change at some point. See if
tonight.
Yeah, if Huntley can do something for them at quarterback. Maybe. Like,
I like that call for them.
Yeah, me too. He's had moments. So anyway, I just sort of felt like the tension about the game really dissipated when the Jets lost for me. And I know it's just one loss. Like, you would have loved to get the bigger lead on them and sort of feel like, oh man, it's October. The Bills have a 2-game lead in the division. This is pretty sweet. But all the same, it's not that devastating. What matters now is how they respond to it.
At BetMGM, their odds of winning the AFC East are better than they were yesterday morning, but that might just be you're one more week out of the way with the lead. Right. I'm not even sure that the performances have a lot to do with that. The Jet loss is pretty bad, though. The Bills loss is only bad by magnitude because they were just outplayed all over the field. You can't lose. Well, the Bills last year somehow managed, but you can't lose to Denver at home, giving up 60 passing yards. It's almost like the Derek Anderson Bills-Browns game where you just gave up nothing and somehow lost.
It was, you know, was pretty much a sloppy mess.
It was wet.
Almost start to finish there. But still.
Come on, though.
No, it was pathetic. And, you know, are we deflecting by dwelling on the Jets?
I'm not dwelling on it.
I feel like, I'm about to make another point, and then I feel like I'll be dwelling. So I'll save it. I'll save it for, you know, whatever. It'll come up.
Look, I don't know. I don't think it's deflecting. I'm not worried, really. Like, I always thought Baltimore was good. And what even is that to say? Like, we know that they're good. And it's a tough matchup. You know, we kind of took turns last week. You were like, Lamar Jackson is due for a good game against the Bills. He only had a pretty good game. You know, he didn't have to do much. He had a few good throws, but really just like little flip passes to Justice Hill, who was able to go 10 yards without being touched on screens. And then the Henry stuff was just kind of an easy night.
Yeah.
But I never, last week, you know, we had our fun with best team in the league stuff and power rankings and everything. And what did I say every time? It's just really too early. Mm-hmm. You've had a couple of cake matchups here, and that doesn't mean the Bills can't keep winning. But I'm not assuming that they will, because they're going to play a great team in week 4 and then other tough teams after that. And the goal is still win the AFC East again. And they came out of the weekend, I don't think, much worse in that way. Like I'm mentioning the odds are actually better.
Right.
So it happens. And I don't know, what about the close games people? Is it better that they lost by 25 points than if they lost by 4? Now, I'm not saying it is.
Right.
Because I like big wins.
You're going to have to explain that to me if you feel that way. I don't know.
When the Bills are blowing out Jacksonville, you know, they've earned that. That's impressive. You don't want to lose to them, but you shouldn't, you know, rather have them win a close game because it's something somehow says something about you. No. If you're the better team, blast them. And that's what happened in week 3, and then the Bills got obviously a taste of that last night. 803-0550 for your calls. Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio coming up later. Here's Mike with us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask the two of you guys just a quick question. One on offense and one on defense. Why didn't the Bills go hurry up when they were down so early? And when you got a fast, aggressive defense that's coming at you, you got to keep them on their heels. And the Bills have proven in the past that they're pretty good at no huddle. So I was kind of worried about that. And where the heck is Curtis Samuel? I don't get how you're paying a guy $8 million to play this gadget role, and you're giving, no offense to Matt Collins, I mean, sure, he's an NFL player, but I mean, I just didn't understand some of that. It was really disappointing. And on defense, not having Milano and Johnson and Bernard was tough. I don't know if they would have made that much of a difference. I think you would have needed full Matt Milano to handle Derrick Henry at the card, because you got 500 yards coming at you, one guy blocking at 300, and then Derrick Henry at 225. Linebackers were really exposed yesterday. And like you said, Mike, it's okay against Jacksonville or teams that you've dominated in the past, but when you got to, and you're not going to face that all year, as you said, too. I mean, they're very used.
All right, we lost you there, Mike.
Yeah, Baltimore is very much, well, I don't say one of one. I mean, the 49ers can line up and do that to you. They use Usek as a fullback. He's not 300 pounds like Ricard, but still, you know, the Baltimore, at least in the AFC, has got the market cornered on playing that way. So, you know, you're going to have a better plan if you run into them in January, that's for sure. And what that'll be, I don't know. you know, you should, you know, hopefully knock on something lucky here. By then, have Milano back and Bernard. Like, hopefully they all come back and nobody gets hurt again. But really, the Bills are susceptible, even I think with those guys. It's still speed that they're relying on and coverability. Like, their thing is, you know, kind of like teams do to them. Like, we talk so much about the league-wide trends. I feel like McDermott is one of the OGs in this department. Go ahead and run it. We're going to play nickel, and we're going to make sure when you go to pass it that we're going to shut you down. We're not going to get anything cheap over our heads, and we're going to make it hard for you to live that way. And the Ravens just came out and just slammed it down their throats to the point where the safeties are creeping up, and it just didn't matter. They were just outmanned, man to man.
Well, you know, we've seen the Bills with these injuries make you wonder, does it even matter? Is McDermott so good? Right. Is the depth so good? You know, I'm not criticizing, you know, but I'm thinking of Sal talking about the value and the continuity and the depth, guys who've been, you know, quote, in the program. And that seems all correct. You know, it's logical and probably right. There should be a point at which you don't measure up to some opponents in the league. It just makes common sense that you would eventually meet up with somebody who just has more than you do at that point. You shouldn't be able to cheat that forever. And so the Bills went from our asking those questions like, oh, Ingram, you know, yeah, and these other guys,
right.
Spectre, are they just fine no matter what? To like, okay, no.
There's where it breaks. There's where I don't have enough. You know, I mean, I think, you know, what are we talking about? Four guys, five guys that are really backup level players on this team that have been playing, and it's okay. It's going okay, but yeah, they ran into it last night. I mean, they really ran into it.
I would just ask on Samuel, what did you expect? I mean, if you want to, here we go. I mean, everybody eats now. They lose one, and it's, but where are the wide receivers? Like, who are their good? Yeah, that's the point. I mean, Curtis Samuel is fine, but he is that kind of player, how they're using him, and there was every reason to think this was what was going to happen. And it's not much, you know, but they told you that's how it was, that's better. And, I mean, you could ask for a couple more plays a game, but in his career, which goes back 8 seasons, Samuel has never, only once, did he ever come down with 5 catches a game. Like, what do you think it should be? You want more depth of target, I guess, but what's it going to be? What is that? 4 for 50? I mean, that's where Kincaid is. That's kind of where Coleman is. That's kind of a little bit below where Shakir is. You know, they're not all going to be, and you're not getting more than that. You were never getting more than that. You were getting this maybe a little bit more, like 1 or 2 plays a game more. And that's true of all these guys. So this is what, this was the menu for the Bills. And you want 1 or 2 guys to do 1 or 2 more things per game, it has to come at some expense. And I think this was the plan. 803-0550, Football Monday. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back with more of your calls after this. The phone lines are open, 803-0550. I just said that. The Mets just scored 6 runs in the 8th inning to take the lead on the Braves in their quest to make the postseason. Winner of this game is in. Loser has a chance by winning the second game of the doubleheader. Back after this timeout on WGR.
They had a good play. We didn't hit it right, and they hit a big one. It's hard to stop in an open field. So, I mean, it was a gut punch, but I felt like we were fighting back. Even in the second half, I felt like we were about to make a run in like the third quarter, early third quarter, but it just didn't go that way.
Gregory Rousseau, the Bills lose to Baltimore 35-10. The kind of loss this team has not suffered in years, literally. More than 6 points goes back to November of 21. On the road, it goes back to Derrick Henry and Tennessee. Maybe not entirely a coincidence. In October of 2020, it's 31 road games ago where they had lost by more than 6 points. They went 20-10. In those 30 games on the road, and there's some overtime losses. They're all close games until last night, and it's just really stark. I mean, the Bills do not lose like that, and that's my bottom line. You know, I don't think it tells you how the season's going to end any more than last week's game does, but overall, good start.
Definitely agree with that. I mean, it's, you know, You wonder, like, who else is anyone else in the AFC even equipped to try to beat you like that? Or just line up and just smash you? I think the answer is no. Maybe the Chargers, but I don't know if they'll be, you know, in the mix when it's all said and done. So, you know, it feels bad, obviously, to watch them in that spot get stomped. It feels bad for Allen's MVP chances to have a night that goes like that, for sure. But, you know, what matters the most now is how you handle, you know, from here and really these next two. You know, I was talking before this Baltimore game, like, they look like the best team in the league. They definitely don't look like that anymore. After last night, best team in the league doesn't lose by 25 on the road or not. So, you know, that's tabled for now. But 2-1 in these next 3, and I'll feel like you're in a great spot. Absolutely great. But now you got to get those next 2. And, you know, I don't think either the Texans or the Jets pose the specific matchup difficulty that Baltimore displayed last night, or just the overall caliber of the team. So, you know, I like their chances more than I would have liked them last night, but they got to go do it.
Let's go to your calls. We've got Chris next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm disappointed, but I'm only somewhat surprised. I mean, you guys had it last week. You talked about the middle of the defense being concerned. PFF had a whole write-up about it. Now, we thought that maybe the tight ends would go off. I didn't know it would manifest the way it did with, you know, Henry running all over us. But in terms of, like, the outlook of the season, I agree a lot with what you guys are saying. I mean, first of all, just this game in a microcosm, like, they did make adjustments after the beginning of the game. It didn't look great at that point. But you'll notice that they did start getting penetration, even if they were outgunned with the talent. And I think, you know, in terms of McDermott, I don't think we can just completely discard, you know, the long history that he's had, specifically on the defense, since he's been at the helm on the defensive side of the ball, of, you know, having a winning team, you know, with the injuries that they've had. I think all you can hope for is going forward, and this, I'll be really interested to see in the next 2 weeks. This is on film now, so how are they going to adjust accordingly? Like, do they play less nickel, or do they do something different schematically up front to kind of address any holes in the run defense? And then you just hope to get some of the best players back so you right. can have your best punch when it comes time to play playoff games against the better teams. Because as we've seen and as we know, there's a lot of not very good teams in the league. So they're not all going to hit you like the Ravens did. I'm not entirely surprised, but I'm not ready to just, you know, throw my hands up.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, getting Bernard and Johnson back are great places to start. Again, you're not going to see this team again until January, if you see them at all. And maybe those guys being there only slows down the freight train a little. You probably still get run over. I don't know. But that's where you're going to start. You know, Bernard was already practicing last week despite being ruled out of this game. So I feel like that's a very positive sign for his availability moving into the Houston game. Johnson, I'm not quite as sure yet. This would be a fourth game missed if he doesn't dress for this game. And that would, you know, be tough from a just a roster management standpoint that they didn't IR him and get, you know, avail themselves of someone else. But nonetheless, I don't think that player would have been a huge difference for them anyway, at least last night.
Now, I don't blame them for playing that out,
right?
Really.
So, you know, I hopefully those guys come back. Because Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram, again, while the Bills were riding the wave of two blowouts in a row in primetime, it was, wow, this amazing pick six. The UB guys, look at this. And you get on the field with another team that's elite, and you got exposed. That's all. I mean, they're playing backups all through the middle of their defense. Really, I mean, Rapp even I don't feel like is my first. I think he's their first choice, but he scares me. He always has.
He got hurt. Anyway.
He got hurt anyway, so he's out. So you're to Cole Bishop, who I have high hopes for, but pretty green, obviously. They were just in tough. Look, that's not to make excuses, but eventually, you know, the idea that they were untouchable from injuries and that they could just keep filling in and it would never be hurt by it probably was unrealistic from the start.
Which we knew.
Right.
Right? I mean, that was always likely. Houston next, and they're different too. Like, they're different from, maybe they're more like Jacksonville in terms of how they line up. I'm not sure this is true, and I saw very little of that game yesterday. They barely won against the Jags.
The worst uniform matchup in the history of professional football was that game.
Navy against Black Pants?
Black and white and, like, Navy. Houston looks like Atlanta. It was a disaster.
I'm not sorry that I missed it then.
Yeah.
But they're supposed to be healthier. Now, they did not have Tank Dell yesterday. They didn't have Mixon. Mixon seemed like he was close. They're already saying today that Dell is going to be back. And Diggs had another nice game with Dell gone. Collins might be the wide receiver one in fantasy football this year. Like, he's just crushing all over the field. Big plays. So it's a different kind of test again, depending on can the Bills get pressure, and if they can't, they're going to have challenges against Stroud and the Texans. Houston is a 1-point favorite at the moment. Brian is next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot to add to what's already been kind of talked about. I mean, I thought Baylen Spector had an absolutely horrible game. He would fit the defense to the left, the Ravens would run right. He'd fit to the defense to the right, the Ravens would run left. He was out of position all game, got snowplowed on several long runs, just got pushed out of the way. The precursor to that was a play against the Dolphins where did the same thing. He bit left, Achan went right by him for 16 yards. It didn't matter in that game, obviously, but that had to be said. I mean, he's a backup, so I think that was a big factor. But then the other, I mean, obvious takeaway is like this: everybody eats wide receiver room, and yet, yeah, everybody eats, but it's still a predictable snap count. Right, it's not like the Bills are going 25%, 25%, 25% downwards. No, it's still Shakir, Hollins, and Coleman are your starters, and there's nothing for MVS or anything meaningful for Samuel. And I'm just wondering with Curtis Samuel, can he even run a regular route anymore? Or is he just down to below what Isaiah McKenzie was, and now he's just a complete – he's like Nyheim Hines back there now. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to take Matt Collins off the field if you want to get any sort of plays. I get it, blocking, but you're just having Gabe Davis 2.0, six targets, one catch. And then one last point, Coleman. Like, even if he is catching contested catches, which is nice, you look at those throws. Allen has to drop them in perfectly for him to have a shot at those. So, to me, that just puts even more pressure on Allen. Coleman's got to find a way to win earlier in the route. You're not going to make a living trying to make catches like that constantly.
Well, that was the bet Yep.
That's the Coleman bet. I mean, he was the eighth receiver picked, and that's what I think he is. Maybe that'll change, but that's a great play on the sideline from Allen last night to Coleman.
Oh, the one that Coleman dropped, you mean? Or wait.
Oh, he caught it, didn't he? On the Baltimore sideline? All right, never mind.
He caught two back shoulder throws in the game on the Bills sideline, I think.
Top of the screen.
Yeah.
Bills sideline.
But he,
that's right.
The best throw Allen made all night was the one that Coleman dropped. I mean, it was very reminiscent to me of the Diggs play in the Kansas City playoff game. I mean, it was just perfectly over the outstretched defender's hands, right to your hands, and he missed it. So that was different too. That wasn't back shoulder. That was, you know, outstretched hands. Like he had enough of a beat on the guy to get that ball dropped in there, and the defender couldn't get to it because it was perfectly thrown, and he dropped it. I agree. I mean, the best plays they had really, you know, you got Allen scrambling and chucking it 50 yards down to Shakir, you know, busted play. The two back shoulder throws to Coleman, like that's pretty much it.
Yep.
And that is no way to live. That is not an NFL passing game. That's, you know, this is all I can do is what that is.
Well, it's the Dolphin game without three James Cook rushing touchdowns, right? Like they didn't really get anything there. That's the Miami game is the one play to Ty Johnson, really. Like that's it. But then the game was over at halftime, and this one almost was the other way. Look, I think that was what people, including myself, and I think largely you, who were worried about the Bills offense, that's what it looked like in your fears, that there is just not a player,
right,
including Cook, including Kincaid, that if I'm playing you, I'm that worried about. It's only Allen. And I don't know, maybe his running is still limited physically, but he's doing a little bit of it. And it can't be your whole offense. And, you know, it isn't. And it's still early in the season, but we've been through that. Like, it just, you want that to, where that's of most value is if it comes as a complement to the other things that are already going well. That's like Jackson too. The Ravens don't want to be just Lamar Jackson taking off, and they're clearly not. And that's been the case for a couple of years now, is that serves as sort of a plus to their offense. And I think that that's what the Bills would say too about Allen running. But then what is it? You know, if you can't get Cook going because you'd have to just dominate up front to do that. We know that. And that did not happen last night. Far from it. What are you? You know, you're pretty limited. And you need it just to sort of go perfectly with all these different pieces, and you're scheming, and you're getting the big plays from Allen, and these other guys are doing this or that, and you get there. This game,
no, it just obviously did not happen. It didn't exist.
I don't think Hollins is coming off the field. I think this is what they wanted.
Yeah.
And if they start losing, then they'll change things.
Maybe that changes, but I don't think losing this game will change much.
I don't either.
No.
803-0550, Football Monday. Eric Wood in 20 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Right now, be caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947 to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Mr. Derek at Rob's Playhouse Theater this Saturday, October 5th. Mr. Derek was recently featured on the Joe Rogan Experience. He's one of the fastest rising comedians in the country. We have your chance now to win a pair of tickets. Visit robsplayhousetheater.com for details. That's the whole read.
Good job.
Thank you. Jeff is next. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm going to state the obvious. I'm a guy calling a sports talk show and not a NFL coach. But so I'm going to give my judgments in two ways. First of all, it makes sense to me that the Bills would come out in the nickel defense because that's their base package. And like, and Bulldog mentioned it. He said, you know, it's really a tough matchup, and it was going to be. You put the two tight ends, a 300-pound fullback, Derrick Henry, and even quarterback Lamar on a scale, they're going to outweigh our five defensive backs by 300 or 400 pounds. So that's a mismatch to start. And so having them run on us a bit was not a surprise. But what was a surprise to me was really how ineffective our offense was. And I think, and I'm not sure why that happened. I don't know if it was play calling or – execution. But the Ravens just seem to really be have the, their game plan was certainly yep. seemed to be more in place than ours was, you know. And I think we might have been got a little bit complacent. I mean, we scored over 100 points the last three games. That's impressive. So it's they're not without ability. But so anyway, that was that's the comment from the uninformed sports talk guy.
Thank you for the call, Jeff.
Leave the uninformed sports talk guy comments to me, okay,
right,
Jeff?
Right. We like to think we have the market cornered on that with the two of us in here. Anyway, yeah, it's a brutal matchup. And as far as the offense goes, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I did at one point say last week, like Jacksonville came in here, oh, man-to-man, 61 or whatever percent of the time, and it took, you know, a few drives in the game to get pretty crooked for them to change that. Well, you know, at one point I said, you know, maybe they'll be a team. I think we were talking about Devontae Adams or some other receiver idea, right? Like, well, no, let's it's going all right so far. Let's see what, you know, what the next few weeks bring, because we have, I think, 5 weeks at the time until the trade deadline. And maybe there'll be a team out there that personnel-wise can go man and lock them up. I think that kind of happened yesterday. Allen's numbers against man defense year over year have been fantastic. Like, it's poison to try to play him that way. The Ravens didn't exclusively do it, but when they did, I don't have them memorized, but the numbers were brutal. Not surprisingly. I mean, the whole stat line, the box score is ghastly to look at. But specifically, the Ravens, when they chose to just go man-on-man, I don't think Allen found much to his liking, or if he did, he didn't have time to execute it because he was pretty harried back there a lot of the time, too.
That's where you want to have a personnel advantage. And I'm not sure they do.
Right.
You know?
That's it. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know how many other teams will be able to lock them up that way, but they're in tough when a team can do that to them, because a big part of their bread and butter has been, again, Allen, not only in the passing game, but in the running game too. Like, you're playing man on man, you're running up the field with all these dudes, look out, because here comes Allen. He's going to see that and he's going to take off. And just not enough of that happened last night, to say the least.
Are we watching the greatest baseball game ever played?
Maybe. That's incredible.
Mets and Braves have a doubleheader. If they split, they both make the playoffs. If one team gets swept, they're out. This is game one. The Braves took a 3-0 lead to the eighth. The Mets scored 6 runs in the top of the eighth. The Braves scored 4 in the bottom of the eighth on a 2-out bases clearing triple by Albies for 7-6. And now Lindor just homered with a man on for 8-7 Mets in the top of the ninth. And it's still in the top of the ninth.
It's a real good game. It's good that it's this good, because the game that comes after it might be one of the most embarrassing sporting exhibitions we've ever seen.
But it's going to matter a great deal to one team.
Right, but not to the other. Like, if the Mets hold on, like they close this out in the ninth inning, Pete Alonso, warm up. I don't know. He's probably too important. I don't know. Whoever's on the bench that can throw the ball is going to be on the mound, I predict.
There are rules against that, though. You have to be down by like 10 runs or something to use.
Yeah.
They put a stop to that, or at least to some extent. Eric Wood coming up next. Football Monday, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.